Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, May 26. We begin with a front page article off the Herald and Review written by Allison Petty, who's a staff writer for that paper. Dredge work expands to Sand Creek, Big Creek. The $91 million Lake Decatur dredging project will reach a crucial phase this season, broadening its scope and likely drawing more residents' attention. Crews for the Great Lakes Dredge and Dock, the city's contractor on the six-year job, will work simultaneously in two areas, Big Creek and Sand Creek. These areas have accumulated a large amount of sediment over time, making them more shallow. They are the same sites that became hard and parched during the drought in 2012. Both areas are slated to gain about 6 feet of depth through the dredging efforts, officials said. The main dredge will continue its work in the Big Creek area, said Jerry Stevens, engineering services coordinator for the city's water management department. It is assisted by a so-called swamp buggy, essentially a modified backhoe that uses pontoons to move itself in swampy areas. In this location, it's mainly used for the stumps and shrubs or trees or anything like that that the big dredge wouldn't be able to get, Stephen said. It's so shallow that the big dredge really can't go up in there. Meanwhile, two smaller dredges will work in the Sand Creek area, likely starting in July. The smaller dredges are diesel-powered, so they will make more noise than their electric counterpart in Big Creek. Stevens said crews would take decibel readings to ensure that the work does not exceed city specifications. Both operations will run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's so they can get done faster, Stevens said. If we have to stop at night, it just takes us that much longer to get done. Residents are likely to notice Great Lakes crews in two new staging areas, the Lost Bridge boat ramp and a spot near Grove Road. Boaters and other lake users should use caution when approaching the dredging equipment, said Joe Niehiser, lake maintenance supervisor. They should pay special attention to markers and buoys. Anything they can stay away from, 200 feet, they need to, especially the working machinery, barges, boosters, etc., he said. Stevens said Great Lakes currently employs 22 workers from Macon and surrounding counties and 11 workers who are not from the local area. It is expected to hire more people as the work progresses this summer. Subcontractor Terra Contracting Services has 13 local employees and 6 non-local employees. Those workers are involved in earthwork to increase capacity of the Oakley Basin, where the sediment is stored, a project officials hope will wrap up this year. The dredging effort, which began in fall 2014, is ultimately expected to increase the lake's capacity by 30%. Turning inside to the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review, we find under Crimes in Courts, parolee facing felonies for battering pregnant woman again. An article written by Huey Freeman, who's an H&R staff writer. A 34-year-old parolee who pleaded guilty in January to battering a pregnant woman is facing new charges for allegedly battering the same pregnant woman in May. The victim, a woman in her 30s, said she was at the West Side residence of John M. Justice about 9:30 p.m. May 14th when he, quote, grabbed her by her hooded sweatshirt and shoved her against the wall and in the process scratched her on her upper right chest, end quote, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Todd Klein. She said that Justice grabbed her neck, but did not choke her or cut off her airway. The victim said that she is almost 9 months pregnant, and Justice is well aware of this. Klein wrote in a statement that he observed and photographed scratches on her upper right chest, left neck, and upper left chest. Justice was arrested May 17th and booked into the Macon County Jail, where he is being held without bond. He was arraigned Tuesday on felony counts of aggravated battery, domestic battery with a prior domestic battery conviction, and unlawful restraint, as well as a misdemeanor count of criminal damage to property for damaging the same victim's vehicle. Justice, who has served 7 terms in the Illinois Department of Corrections, was released from prison March 31st after serving part of a 4-year term for aggravated driving under the influence of alcohol. He was on parole on November 4th when he battered the same victim, who was then about 10 weeks pregnant. After he pleaded guilty to domestic battery in that case and served 78 days in jail, he was returned to prison on February 28th. In that incident, Justice went to the victim's house at about 2 p.m. on November 4th and pounded on the front door, said a police affidavit. When the victim did not respond, he entered through a window. He tried to hug her, but she pushed him away. As she began to exit from her home, Justice grabbed her and slammed her down on her bed. The victim told police Justice knew she was pregnant because she had told him. She said she never called the police on him before, but in the past couple of months he had punched her and choked her, leaving bruises on her body. Justice has 2 prior convictions for aggravated battery, great bodily harm, a 2003 case in which he was sentenced to 2 years, 6 months in prison, and a 2007 case in which he received a sentence of 4 years, 6 months. In his most recent case, he is due in court for his preliminary hearing on June 1st. In another Huey Freeman item for crime and courts, woman faces felony after punching woman in car. Rianne Jackson, a 26-year-old Decatur woman, pleaded not guilty Wednesday to 1 felony count of vehicular invasion after she allegedly ran up to a woman's car and punched her in the face. The victim told police she was driving her car about 7:15 p.m. May 6th. When she stopped at a stop sign at Monroe and Olive Streets, she had 3 children, 4 years old and younger, in her vehicle. As she waited for traffic to clear to turn south onto Monroe Street, she saw Jackson, with whom she was acquainted, running toward her vehicle. Her driver's side window was open. Jackson ran up to the vehicle and punched her with a closed fist on the left side of her face through the driver's side window, said a probable cause affidavit by a Decatur patrol officer. The victim told police she is in a dating relationship with a man who also has children with Rianne A. Jackson. The victim suffered swelling on the left side of her face, which was photographed by police for evidence. Jackson, who is being held in the Macon County Jail on $10,000 bond, is due in court for a pretrial hearing June 28th. If convicted of vehicular invasion, a Class 1 crime, she is facing 4 to 15 years in prison. Our next local item is from the Lincoln area. Lincoln firefighters injured when van hits tanker. And this is an article written by a Lee News Service writer, Steve Smedley. Two firefighters and a civilian were injured Wednesday after a passenger van collided with a fire tanker truck in Lincoln. The firefighters from Lincoln Rural Fire Protection District were taken to St. John's Hospital in Springfield. The van's driver was extricated by firefighters from Lincoln and Lincoln Rural and taken to Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital in Lincoln. Lincoln Rural Fire Chief Chris Buse said none of the injuries were considered life-threatening. Thank God that no one was injured badly, he said. This is a prime example of why people need to obey Scott's Law, Buse told the Bloomington Pantograph. We're on our way to a call, and our tanker came into the intersection with lights and siren, and a vehicle did not yield and collided with our tanker. The tanker, which carries 2,000 gallons of water, rolled onto its side and came to rest partially on the van. The accident occurred at the intersection of Old Route 66 and Woodlawn Road. Southbound Route 66 remains closed. The firefighters were responding to a brush fire along Interstate 77 at Elkhart when the accident occurred. There are countless times we've had close calls on the interstate, but not one right down the street from our station, Buse said. The bad thing is that this is going to be tough because that was our only tanker. Scott's Law is a state law that requires motorists to slow down and pull over for emergency vehicles using their lights and sirens. Our next article was written by Justin Kahn, who is an H&R staff writer, this from Decatur. Fitness, an important part of senior health. Barbara Tony was at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center's National Senior Health and Fitness Day event on Wednesday, but don't call her a senior. I don't consider myself a senior, said Tony, a retired kindergarten teacher, and don't ask me my age. Tony doesn't consider herself a senior because she doesn't behave like the inactive stereotype of a senior. She was at the DISC walking the track and also does chair yoga and rides a bike. Tony said she and her husband Tom are planning a trip to Colorado to visit their son and go hiking. I taught kindergarten for 36 years, so I stayed pretty active, Tony said, but I find it much easier now that I'm retired. There's more time. The DISC is now making it even easier for seniors becoming part of the Silver Sneakers program. If their insurance covers it, interested seniors can give their name and birthday to DISC front desk staff to find out. They can join the DISC and get access to its full activities for free. DISC manager Jamie Davis said free fitness classes for Silver Sneakers members are coming in July. Former Eisenhower football coach Steve Smith takes advantage of the Silver Sneakers program and is also a regular at the DISC's annual National Senior Health and Fitness Day event. The 66-year-old Smith went through the gamut of offerings, grabbing a smoothie and some fruit, getting his body mass index measured, and his blood pressure, bone density, carotid artery, thyroid, and skin checked by representatives from Decatur Memorial Hospital. He finished with a neck and shoulder massage from Bobby Jelks. I work out here a couple times a week, and I consider this an annual perk, Smith said. Any chance to get some free health screenings, I'm going to take advantage of. It's a good complement to my normal checkups, and I get to have Bobby work God's hands on my neck and shoulders. New this year was a prize wheel where seniors could spin it, do the exercise it landed on, and pick a prize. DISC athletic trainer Jeff Rounds, who has put on the event for more than a decade, said the goal is to influence seniors to be active. We really want to drive home the point of the importance of strength training in fighting off osteoporosis and functioning better with daily activities, Round said. Most seniors are in touch with their health, but the aspects that need attention are often strength, cardio, and being mobile. Round says he sees a lot of seniors who try to stay active, but don't keep an open mind to everything available to them. We have active seniors, but they carve niches. Some are walkers, some do the fitness center, some do strength training, Round said. But they don't expand. Something is better than nothing, but it's good to understand the benefits of other activities. We're turning now to the Decatur Tribune and picking up some of the local news items there. The first one carries the headline, City Council Approves Public Works Funding Residency Resolution. Almost $300,000 in funding for public improvements to Decatur roads and bridges was approved by the Decatur City Council on Monday as part of a trio of projects totaling more than $1.9 million in total area capital investment. An additional $120,000 was authorized to cover the city's portion of the Mound Road Bridge reconstruction over Spring Creek, bringing the total authorized by high city MFT expenditure to $320,000 for the project. The balance of what is a potential $1,022,767.94 in project cost is to be paid with federal funds. Members also voted to expend $60,000 in MFT, and I'm sure I don't know what MFT means. I don't know what that means. MFT funds to replace lighting along the U.S. Route 36 bridge across Lake Decatur, and to fund $113,352 in road microsurfacing in Decatur. The resurfacing is being done as part of an intergovernmental cooperative agreement with Hickory Point, Long Creek, and Mount Zion Townships and Macon County that is designed to reduce the cost of projects within each jurisdiction. The project could cost up to $900,000. The city's portion of the project costs is to be funded through the city's state motor fuel tax. Oh, that's what MFT is. Motor fuel tax allocation. The city receives state motor fuel tax funds, which are used to perform contract maintenance on streets and bridges on a regular basis. The expenditure of state MFT funds is highly regulated by the Illinois Department of Transportation. In other business, the City Council approved a new 5-year agreement with Midwest Fiber to process recycled materials collected as part of the city's single-stream recycling program. The agreement places a cost value on the material, with the city being required to pay a maximum of $15 per ton to Midwest when the value of recyclables is negative, and with there being a possible maximum payment of $10 per ton to the city if the value of materials increases to result in positive material value. Today, it is standard practice for communities and haulers to pay a processor to take materials at market rate, which the city has not had to do over the last 5 years. The recyclables market has changed drastically since the city first began its single stream recycling program, with the value of the materials being down significantly over the last several years. Among other reasons, this is due to falling oil prices. It is now cheaper in some cases to make new plastic, where oil is a chief component, than to recycle, and a weakened Chinese economy, as China is a principal consumer of recyclables. Council members also voted 6-1, in favor of a resolution expressing City Council support for residency within city limits for all new municipal employees. The residency resolution is non-binding, but is intended to express the Council's prioritization of residency for city employees. City Manager Tim Gleason plans to begin talks in the immediate future with bargaining units about the importance of the issue. Our next article carries the headline, Annual Let's Keep Decatur and Macon County Beautiful Contest Underway. Making Decatur a beautiful place to live, work, and play is the goal behind the Business Beautification Contest kicking off this spring. Let's Keep Decatur and Macon County Beautiful contest coordinator Jill Davis encourages businesses to spruce up their landscaping and tidy up their property to improve their overall curb appeal. Trimming and maintaining landscaping, having a plan to monitor and pick up litter on their property, securing dumpster lids, keeping buildings, fencing, benches, signs, and parking lots clean are all ways to make a business look great. There are also criteria the judges will be looking for to determine winners. Businesses will be divided into large, medium, and small categories according to their number of employees, with first, second, and third place winners in each category. This way, remarked Davis, we can recognize and reward more beautiful businesses in the community. The Speed Lube Continued Excellent Cash Award of $350 and the $350 Lowe's Best in Show Gift Certificate Award are additional awards businesses could win as well. Besides receiving publicity for their business in the Herald and Review, the Business Journal, and on Facebook, as well as a beautiful sign to display, each business that registers receives a 15% discount coupon from Connie's Greenhouse. Each first place winner receives a $350 gift certificate to From the Ground Up Landscapes. Each second place winner receives a $200 gift certificate from Connie's Greenhouse, and each third place winner receives a $100 gift certificate from Cedar Lake Gardens and Gifts, Walker's Landscaping. The deadline to register for the contest is June 10th. Applications can be completed online at www.beautifuldecaturbusiness.com. And that was all one big word, beautifuldecaturbusiness.com. Or it can be printed and faxed to 217-877-6647. The following sponsors help make this contest possible: Grain Journal, Herald and Review, NIMS Foundation, Millikan University, Dunn Company, Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Bob and Cindy Smith. Davis challenges all businesses in the Decatur area to take a fresh look at their property, spruce it up a bit, and to definitely register for a chance to win. And finally, Bowser named assistant principal at St. Teresa High School. Teresa K. Bowser, a 1978 graduate of St. Teresa High School, has been appointed St. Teresa's assistant principal effective August 1st. She succeeds Tim Brilly, who was scheduled to become assistant principal after he resigned as the Bulldogs football head coach last November. He since has been named head football coach at Morton. Mrs. Bowser has served as the Director of Human Resources for the Decatur Public Schools since 2014. Larry Daly, current assistant principal, will become the principal effective July 1st. Teresa served as the Muffley School principal from July 2002 through December 2014. She also served as the Stephen Decatur Middle School assistant principal in 2001-2002. She has coached and taught in various positions in the Decatur Public School System since 1983. Mrs. Bowser is a member of St. James and Patrick Parish. Dr. Ken Hendrickson, CEO, stated that Mrs. Bowser will be an outstanding addition to the St. Teresa administrative team. Her administrative experiences will be most welcomed. There are two Memorial Day observance items that appear on the front page of the online version of the Decatur Tribune that I think we need to make note of. The first is the Veterans Assistance Commission of Macon County Incorporated will be commemorating Memorial Day on Monday, May 30th, with a service held at 10 a.m. in Fairview Park Pavilion in Decatur. Congressman Rodney Davis, a Republican of the 13th District of Illinois, will be the guest speaker for the event. And the Charles Parlier Chapter 24 of the Korean War Veterans Association will hold its 21st annual Memorial Day service on Monday, May 30th. It will be held they dropped the time. It's in the morning. Well, let me look. There are some more details elsewhere, but it's going to be held on Monday morning in the Graceland Cemetery at the Korean War Memorial, located in the Veterans section. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will be the speaker, and she will do a great job. This is commentary from, actually, these items are being taken out of the editor's City Beat, Paul Osborne City Beat column. which is who's giving you these personal comments. One of the great honors I had, not only as mayor but as a private citizen, was being able to speak at Fairview and Graceland services over the years. With a son serving in the military in harm's way on those occasions, it was especially meaningful. There are other programs planned for Memorial Day in the area, and there was a pre-Memorial Day parade and program in Central Park on Saturday. May God bless all who serve, who have served, but especially those who gave their lives in service to our nation and the families they left behind. Their loved ones need to know their ultimate sacrifices are not forgotten and will never be forgotten. His next item goes on to something entirely different. Retired police chief wants investigation of city manager. John L. Davis, an attorney for former police chief Mark Barthelemy, stopped by my office on Monday to further explain a verified petition he has filed with the court, circuit court, a week ago to appoint a special prosecutor to, quote, investigate and prosecute Decatur City Manager Tim Gleason. Davis told me Barthelemy believes that Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott would have a conflict of interest in any investigation or prosecution of Gleason. He also said that while Scott has appointed a special prosecutor in reference to fired Police Chief Brad Sweeney and his lawsuit against the City of Decatur, there is no investigation or prosecution underway regarding possible criminal charges against Gleason for personal use of a police vehicle and police driver to take him to St. Louis. The ongoing problem here. Davis told me the petition is something separate from the current lawsuit of Sweeney against the City of Decatur, and that's why his client, Barthelemy, is asking for a special prosecutor. However, if criminal misconduct on the part of the city manager is found, it could have influence in a jury trial regarding the lawsuit filed by Sweeney against the City of Decatur. So there is at least an indirect connection. Of course, by the time you read this column, the lawsuit against the city could be dismissed or headed for a jury trial. Okay, we're running short on time. I turn back to the Decatur Herald and review for some brief items, particularly regarding Memorial Day closings. Federal, state, county, city offices and schools will be closed on Monday, May 30th in observance of Memorial Day. The Illinois Secretary of State's driver's services facilities normally open on Saturday, including the one in Decatur, will be closed on Saturday, May 28th. All will reopen on Tuesday, May 31st. The Decatur Public Library will be closed Monday and reopen on Tuesday. There will be no mail delivery and no counter service at the downtown post office and Memorial Station on Mound Road on Monday. Decatur Public Transit System buses will also not run on Monday. The Herald and Review business office will be closed Monday, but the newspaper will continue to be published every day. Also quickly, there is a U.S. 36 lane closure. Tree and brush clearing is reducing eastbound traffic to one lane on U.S. 36 between the bridge and Forest Knolls Estate from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays through Wednesday, June 15th. So that's going to be a little bit disruptive for a few weeks here. We're out of time for this first half hour of news from the Decatur area, so we're going to take a quick break. I hope you can hang in there, and we'll return with the second half hour in just a moment.